Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You shall not be judged. I shall just speak for myself. If anyone should be judged, a sinner, undeserving of God's grace, it's me. For I daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but God's wrath and punishment. But Jesus says, "You shall not be judged." If anyone deserves to be condemned for their sin and have the accusing finger pointed at them, it is me. Not for all of the failings and shortcomings that you might see outwardly, although they are there, but especially for those that are hidden. And yet Jesus says, "You shall not be condemned." If anyone deserves not to be forgiven, it is me. For I struggle to forgive, and yet he says, "I forgive you." Those words of Jesus in the gospel for today touch at what is at the heart of baptismal faith. In our baptism, we are made the children of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In these words of Jesus, he is inviting us to trust in a reality that is greater than ourselves. And that reality is that you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And that for Jesus' sake, he does not judge you, he does not condemn you, but freely forgives you, though you and I deserve none of it. So when Jesus says, "Be merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful," that is the call to faith in Christ. When he says, "Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful," he is calling us to believe the miracle of our baptism, that we stand righteous before God for Jesus' sake. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. I knew that when my father was alive, he would never disown me. Most of you can probably say that about your father. And it is quite a comforting thought to say such things and to realize such things as, "I am his son. My dad has always been good to me. He has always forgiven me. He has always accepted me." That doesn't mean he never got angry or was never disappointed. But there is nothing that I've ever done that could overthrow that relationship of a father to his son. He is my father. I am his son. That's baptismal language. That is the bond and commitment that God the Father makes to you and to me through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we can say such things about earthly fathers, even though we know that there is a limit to their love, how much more can we say this about our Heavenly Father? What does it mean when the Scriptures call God our Father? That's what Jesus did. He did this when he taught the Lord's Prayer, and he does that in the gospel for today. He called his Father our Father. That is a remarkable truth. Think about it for a moment. Be merciful, he says, just as your Father also is merciful. I want you to meditate upon that phrase this morning. Be merciful. But before we can do so justly and understand those words, we must understand what does it mean that God is our Father. To have a God, to have God as our Father, means that as the enemies of God because of our sin, we are not merely made through Jesus' work friends of God, but we are made through Jesus' work children of God. That's remarkable. There is mercy that people will extend to their children that they will rarely extend to their friends. There's understanding that they'll extend to their children, or compassion, or the covering over of failings that they would rarely extend to others. But God in Christ not only calls us his friends, though we had been his enemies, and he does this by virtue of our baptism into Christ, but he also calls us children. That means that we have a unique relationship to him. Obviously, fathers are over their children. They are authority figures. They guide and teach their children. All of these things are quite true. But more than any of these things, a father is characterized by mercy. He bears the weaknesses and failings of his children. He forgives them, and he sets them at his table. When we are called the children of God in holy baptism, that is exactly what we become. We are made his children, and he forgives us, and he sets us at the table of his mercy, that receiving his mercy in the body and blood of his only begotten Son, the miracles of mercy among the baptized faithful might be shared with others. Actually, in baptism, we are not merely called children of God, but we are called sons of God because we are placed into Christ, the Son of the Father, his sonship with all of the rights and the privileges becomes ours. Baptism means that the Father, when he looks at us, in spite of our sins and failings and shortcomings, he always sees Christ, his dearly beloved Son. When the Father looks at me, he sees Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. I want you to understand what this means for a person's self-worth. You might feel miserable and awful. You might fail yourself. You may fail your friends. You may fail other people in your lives. But when God looks at you for Christ's sake, by virtue of your baptism, he sees Jesus, and you are righteous. You're the apple of his eye and his delight. That's powerful stuff. And it is those truths and realities that he nurtures in us at the table of the Lord, at the confessional kneeler, when he reasserts again and again and again the baptismal reality that we are sons of God, children of God, created by his mercy that we might be merciful to one another for Jesus' sake. This means that God the Father could no more cast us out because of our sin than he could cast out his only begotten Son, who is faithful unto death, to be merciful to us. For it is the only begotten Son of God who laid aside his divine rights and power and authority and humbled himself to the point of death on our behalf. It was the only begotten Son of the Father who suffered judgment, that's language from the gospel, who suffered condemnation, and who suffered hell in our place. The Father's will to be merciful to us was so great that he gave his only begotten Son into death to make the atoning sacrifice for our sin, though we were his enemies, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. The Father cannot reject those whom he has made his children, sons of God, through faith in Christ in the waters of holy baptism. He bestows that sonship in the new birth of water and the Word. He places us in Christ. And there is no judgment, and there is no condemnation. To withhold mercy from us, to judge us and to condemn us to hell, would be the same thing as if the Father were to reject Christ. But he can't do that, because Jesus was faithful unto death for you and for me. To be sure, we can reject God as our Father in unbelief. And this is why in the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It is simply the way of the baptismal life and the way of the body of Christ, his holy church, to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. Through unbelief, obstinate impenitence characterized by the withholding of mercy, we can cast the gifts of our baptism aside. But the promise of our baptism is still good. He who believes in Christ and is baptized will be saved, precisely because baptism places us in Christ, the beloved Son of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Baptism is where sinners are adopted into the family of God. It is where the Father gives us the robe of Christ's righteousness from his beloved Son as our very own. And this is what it means to have God as our Father. Sin, death, hell, these enemies cannot harm us because we have the Father's mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But this mercy is so great that it extends even to those who do not believe in him. It is why the church prays for her enemies and for the conversion of those who do not know Christ, seeing in them the same sin that is a part of all of us. And as Jesus said also in the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount, he causes the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. He grants daily bread to tens of millions the world over every day who don't give a thought for him. God is merciful. That's the way he is. All of this is the context and the meaning of that little verse at the beginning of today's gospel. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. It is Jesus' mercy in the gospel, received by faith in him as broken and contrite sinners, that teaches us what it means to live the baptismal life, because we are recipients of God's mercy. God's mercy performs miracles in our lives. It extends not just in the New Testament, but back into the Old Testament. The miracle of mercy is what transformed the prophet Joseph. To be merciful to his brothers, even though they had hated him and sold him into slavery. It was the mercy of God that created the miracle in him to interpret the events that happened to him in his life as being God's good and gracious will, as we just sang in the hymn. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive as it is this day. Jesus' instructions to us were not spoken in a vacuum, either in the gospel or in our life. They are seen in the context of the entire fabric of the gospel and the Christian faith and life. In the verses immediately prior to our gospel, Jesus could say such things as, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you," because that is exactly how our Heavenly Father in Christ has treated us. He has shown us his mercy on behalf of another. So also, those who are baptized in Christ show mercy on behalf of another, namely Jesus, to whom we cling. The struggle for us comes when we realize how difficult it is for us to live in mercy and forgiveness toward fellow Christians. When we are injured personally by a brother, or when we see our weaknesses and shortcomings in this life, it is difficult to let go of these sins and cover them with the Father's mercy. It is the nature of the old Adam to hang on to them and to not let go. And this is the struggle. And if there were no such struggle, there would have been no reason for Jesus to have spoken the words to us in our gospel in the first place. He did not speak these words to Christians who have no struggle to forgive. Rather, the opposite is true. He spoke these words especially to those who struggle to be merciful to their brothers. Don't ever forget it. Jesus will speak these words of admonishment still by calling us his little children. Christians are struggling sinners. In this life, we always will be, who have been made the children of God by grace alone and not by our own merits or accomplishments. Jesus is speaking to you in your struggle. He is speaking to you who will kneel in a few moments shoulder to shoulder with those with whom you have had disagreements and experienced great hurts. He is not speaking to perfect Christians in the sense that their perfection comes with how successful they are at living the Christian faith and life. Rather, he is speaking to perfect Christians who have been declared righteous for Jesus' sake, in whom there is no judgment, condemnation, but only the righteousness of Christ to cover all our sins. And what does our Lord want us to understand? First, the Father calls us children for Jesus' sake. That's good news. It is the source of lifelong comfort. Second, the Father calls us his children not after we've stopped struggling, but while we are struggling to forgive our brother, to let go of the hurts and the failings of others, not because we have overcome them. Third, the Father's mercy received by his children is the only thing that can create the miracles of mercy in our lives as the body of Christ and as baptized Christians. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul. Baptismal language: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, with all of its struggles and weaknesses, my own shortcomings and failings, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When he forgives your sin, he gives it to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into your bosom. So with the same measure that you have been forgiven, you might extend that mercy to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.